Welcome to the Celebration Church podcast. We believe God wants to speak into your life through this message. If you're interested in knowing more about Celebration Church, you can visit our website at celebrationedmonton.com and find us on Instagram and Facebook at celebrationedm. Thanks for joining us. We hope you enjoy this message.
There are some things in this series that have personally made me feel insecure. I felt at times like because we're so used to being busy. We're so used to having a lot going on. There's been times where I felt like, is this even biblical? It just seems to go so far from what I'm used to, and I feel a little bit insecure about that. There's been times where I'm talking to someone, and they know we're, you know, someone in our church. They know we're in this series, and I ask them how they're doing, and they say, "I'm good. I'm busy." And then they're like, "Oh, not looking bad busy. Like there's almost busy shaming going on. Like, hey, we're not gonna get into any of that. But the pandemic of busy. Like I said, is this even in the Bible? Like, maybe God wants us to be busy. Maybe God wants us to, like, how do you know this is for real?" But I think that the Bible does have some instruction, quite a bit of instruction about these things, about how God wants us to live. This is not just someone's opinion on how life should go. And I know this because let's consider the Ten Commandments for a moment. The Ten Commandments are guidelines for us to live by. When we think about the Ten Commandments, what comes to mind? When we think of the word thou. Thou shall not, what? Have no other gods before me. Thou shall not make idols before God. Thou shall not use the Lord's name in vain. Thou shall not kill. Hopefully everybody can be on board with that one. Thou shall not commit adultery. Thou shall not lie. Thou shall not covet. Thou shall honor thy father and thy mother. These are fairly pretty clear, pretty simple things for us to get behind. Would you agree with me? Yeah. But that was only 9 of the 10 commandments. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 8, it says, "Remember the Sabbath by keeping it holy." This is 10 commandments. This is in the 10 commandments. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy as the Lord God has commanded you. This is possibly one of the most ignored commandments of all time. But it's still a commandment. Here's the thing I find interesting about keeping the Sabbath day holy, a commandment like that. This is right alongside with don't kill people, don't steal from people, don't lie to people, don't commit adultery. And then he says, have a Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath. That's how important the Sabbath is. So what is the Sabbath? It means like go to church on Sunday, right? That can be a part of it. But he doesn't say that. He says to keep it holy, to keep the Sabbath holy. Well, what does that mean? The Hebrew word for holy is kadesh, pronounced kadesh. It is basically the idea of being set apart, or it also means other than, meaning your Sabbath is different from the other 6 days. It's set apart. It's besides the other 6 days, keeping it holy. There's 6 days we can do work on these things, on these days, but there's a seventh day that's special to keep it to the Lord. A special day set apart to be something different. And Sabbath is actually built into creation. In Genesis chapter 2, it says this, "Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array, but the seventh day, God finished the work he'd been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day, and he made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work and the creating he had done." So God worked for 6 days, and then on the seventh, he rested. And then, it's interesting, God, in Genesis, he blessed the animals. He said, go ahead, be fruitful and multiply. He blesses humans. He says, go ahead, be fruitful, multiply, I bless you. And then he blesses a day. He blessed animals, he blessed humans, and then he blesses a day. And God commands us, remember the Sabbath, keep it holy. It needs to be planned for, to be set apart. But many people think that this doesn't exist anymore. People think that, people get it mixed up. They think that Jesus canceled this day somehow. I've heard people talk this way because they refer to Luke chapter 6. I'm going to summarize Luke chapter 6 for you. Jesus, he's walking with the disciples. And they're walking and they're hungry and they grab this sort of grain and they take this grain and they rub it together and they eat it. And they rub it so it's prepared to eat, and then they eat it. And then these Pharisees, these religious leaders back in the day, came to them and they said, no, you can't do that. And Jesus says to them, he says, listen, this day wasn't, man wasn't made for this day. This day was made for man. In other words, you're asking us to serve this day when really this day is supposed to serve us. So Jesus did not cancel the Sabbath on that day. He put it in its place. He said, I am the Lord over this day. I have authority over the Sabbath. Not your rules have authority over me. Another thing he does, these Pharisees, these religious leaders, what they would do is they'd take things out of context and then they would create rules for people to live in. And so they had these rules and they want to trap Jesus because Jesus keeps embarrassing them. Jesus is a threat to their way of life. Okay, Jesus is like flipped the world upside down and they feel threatened by this man. So they want to figure out how they can catch him. And so they're watching him. He's on the Sabbath. He's walking through the synagogue. And they're like, okay, let's see what he does. He's going to break a rule and we're going to catch this guy. And he's walking through and there's a man with a withered hand. There's a man that needs healing. And so Jesus knows these guys want to catch him. They want to catch him doing work. So what does Jesus do? He totally humiliates these guys by just looking to the man and saying, stretch out your hand, you will be healed. Jesus heals him in that moment. So without breaking the rules, he shows them, I have authority over this day. It doesn't mean that he canceled the Sabbath altogether. The type of Sabbath Jesus was canceling was a man-made Sabbath, a rule-type Sabbath. They had all these rules. You couldn't do certain things for you to eat. You couldn't walk more than 800 or 900 yards. Like, and they didn't have those Lime scooters back then, okay? They were like, you had to stay in one spot. You couldn't walk around. There's all sorts of specific rules added by religious leaders. And Jesus said, I'm canceling those rules because I am the Lord of this day. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. It's a gift. So the Sabbath is no longer a rule. The Sabbath has now become a gift for us to enjoy. The Sabbath is no longer rule-based. It's a gift for us. So we have to ask ourselves, well, did Jesus actually want this? Does Jesus want this day for us to have? Jesus, okay, here's the thing about Jesus. In the Gospels, in the four Gospels, the Sabbath is mentioned almost 50 times. In Luke 5:16, it says, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. But you're saying, did he practice Sabbath? Well, in Mark 1, it says the Spirit led him into the wilderness. In other words, he led himself away. And the wilderness, or the word desert, comes from the Greek word eremos, which means quietness. He led himself away. Mark 3, verse 7, Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the lake. Because water is peaceful. He wanted to go hang out on his boat. Mark 6, 31, he says, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place to get some rest. Mark 6:46, he went up on a mountainside. What did he do? He goes to quiet, to pray. Luke chapter 6, same thing. Goes up on a mountainside to spend the night praying to God. Luke 22 says he withdrew and he knelt down and he prayed. So the busier he got, the more solitude he sought. The busier Jesus got, he realized, I have to withdraw. I have to get away from all these people. All these people that I came to be a light to, all these people that I came to save, all these people that whose lives I'm going to change, I still need to get away from them. Even Jesus could get burned out. Even Jesus could get burned out. I think that's encouraging to know that Jesus even need to be away from people, just like I feel all the time. And what we talked about in this series a little bit is, if you want the life of Jesus, you have to adapt the lifestyle of Jesus. And that lifestyle is a lifestyle of regular rest, regular, scheduled worship and connection to the Father. God didn't give us the Sabbath so we would have more rules. God gave us the Sabbath so we'd have more rest. So what is this Sabbath? Well, people can work 6 days, but they worship on the seventh. And it doesn't necessarily have to be the day we're most used to it being, which is Sunday. Whatever day of week works for you, it's just important that you have a Sabbath day. See, the Sabbath day was a gift from God to Israel. The Israelites were in slavery, okay? And in Egypt, they probably had no daily break scheduled into their routines. And so just what happens is because they're in slavery, there's no break from that. And so just like the Israelites, without a Sabbath day, we become slaves to our lives. We become slaves to what's happening in our lives. The basis for this commandment is God's creating the universe in 6 days. And he rested on the seventh. So what is this Sabbath? Well, it's not a day off. It's not a day off. See, I have a day off, and on a day off, I run errands, I fix stuff around the house, I sell stuff on Facebook Marketplace, we go grocery shopping, we get rid of the mountain of bottles in the garage, we do the work, the chores, the to-do list we work on our day off, but then we have a Sabbath day that we practice. The Sabbath hits a little bit different. The Sabbath is a full stop. The Sabbath comes from the word Shabbat, and that word means to stop, to rest, to celebrate, or to come to an end. So what do we need to stop? We need to stop working, stop worrying, stop wanting. Just stop. Why do we need to stop? Because human desire is infinite, because we were meant to live forever. So our desire is infinite because we're meant to live forever. But what happens is our lives become driven by desire, and desire actually takes over, and what we're following is desire. And somewhere Jesus fits into that mix, but what happens is we're always just chasing after the next desire. We keep having different desires, and desire is never satisfied. Desire is infinite, but we are finite. And so we want more, 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 which makes us even more restless. Do you feel that? Oh, man, I feel that. That I think that this next big purchase is going to make me feel so good. Or when I achieve this certain thing, or when I get into this certain hobby, the next thing is going to make me feel so good. And then I get it, and then the desire restarts itself for the next thing. And so what happens is that we live for this next big purchase, and we're so excited about this next big thing, and we think that's what is going to solve it, but it doesn't. It just keeps coming back. You still feel restless. Nothing in this life can satisfy our desires. Last week we talked about seeing 4,000 ads a day. I don't know if I talked about that practice of just stopping at stoplights and starting to count them. I don't know if you did that or not, but it's crazy to see how much we are advertised to, and these advertisements stoke the fire of desire in our lives. And so what Sabbath does is Sabbath is an act of rebellion against the spirit of materialism. Sabbath is an act of rebellion against desire and wanting, and saying, I am going to stop. I'm going to stop desiring the things of this world. And for one day a week, I'm going to submit my desires to God. Are you hearing me online? Are you hearing me? Say it in the chat. When we stop and we submit our desires from God, we come to a place where your desires rest in him. And we need to stop so we can refocus. And different things come up in our lives, and it pulls us in one way or another. But when we stop and we Sabbath, it helps us refocus. And what stopping does is it helps you be bored. When you stop just entertaining yourself all the time, it helps you be bored a little bit, and creativity is birthed from boredom. St. Augustine said this. He said, you have made us for yourself, and our heart is restless until we rest in you. Here's my disclaimer, my promise to you is Sabbath will not ruin your life. I think so many people hear this concept or this idea and they say, you don't understand. I got 5 kids at home. You know, I got multiple businesses I'm trying to build. I got different things going on. I promise you this, if you build a Sabbath into your life, you'll realize this is the way God designed your week to work. It will make all other 6 days better, and it will actually slow down your life to make your life better. Maybe you're saying, I just don't have time for this. Well, let's talk about your productivity for a second here. I did the much research I could do with the time I had allotted for this week for productivity. And what I found is there's studies show that there's zero correlation between hurry and productivity. And I read this Stanford University study that said productivity per hour declines significantly when we work more than 50 hours a week. And you're saying to yourself, well, that's good because I only work 40. But then you go home and you do all that work that you don't get paid for. Right? You do all the stuff that you need to catch up with in your life. And what happens is it drops so much that after 55 hours, for most people, any time over that, those hours are virtually pointless. This Stanford study showed, so don't blame me if you're mad at this. This is Stanford's problem. Showed that there's zero difference between working 70 hours and 55 hours a week. Busyness is not a means to accomplishment, but an obstacle to it. It's not a means to accomplishment, it's an obstacle to accomplishment. You need rest. I read another study done by the National Geographic, whatever society, and they studied people who practice Seventh-day Adventists. They practice Seventh-day, I don't know how to say it, the Seventh-day Adventist people. They studied those people. And in this study, it showed, now, these are American averages. I think I said it before. Nobody wants to study Canadians for some reason. But anyways, Seventh-day Adventists, they studied that. And so what this practice is they're literally religious about the Sabbath. So they've decided that they're always going to keep the Sabbath no matter what. They're very intense about it. It's part of their practice. It's like, anyways. And so whether you agree with them or not, their Seventh-day Adventist men live 6.2 years longer than the average American. That's what this study showed. Seventh-day Adventist women live 3.7 years longer than the average American. And your women, you're going, why do I get ripped off? Well, you're still going to live longer than men, even with those numbers, according to research. But maybe these people have figured something out. Maybe they figured something out that we might need to look at, that might deserve some attention. You won't just live longer, you'll live better. A Sabbath day, what's a Sabbath day? Okay, let's get to it. What does it look like? A Sabbath day is a day to rest and to worship. So if you are going to set aside a Sabbath, you have to look at the things you're going to plan in that day and put it through the filter of, is this rest or is this worship? You put a day aside, you keep a day holy, if you will, set apart and decide everything on that day must go through the filter of, is it rest or is it worship? Now, you're thinking, I'm not going to spend an entire day on my couch singing songs. That is a waste of time. Let's look at what worship is for a second. You think worship is just singing. Don't worry, you don't have to listen to your horrible voice all day on a day off. What is worship? You're thinking, I'm not going to do that. Worship is thanking him for who he is and what he's done and what's to come. Okay? In Hebrews 13, 15 to 16, it says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise from the lips that openly profess his name. Do not forget to do good and to share with others. So part of our worship is doing good, is sharing with people. With such sacrifices, God is pleased. So because of Jesus, we don't have to make blood sacrifices anymore. But to offer praise you do good, you share with others. These were sacrifices that God desired. So a day set apart to worship, what does that look like? Well, part of that can be a day to do good. You know, part of worship is just adoring him, you know, thanking him for what he's done. He's still good. He's still God. But it's a day set apart to also say, what good can I do? Maybe the good that you want to do is be a part of a team, making your local church better, making this a place that's comfortable, that's safe, that's a great experience for people to experience the presence of God. Maybe it's serving on a team. Maybe in your Sabbath, you're going to build serving a neighbor into that. Like maybe you're going to go into your community, connect with people, and show people the love of God by doing good through connecting with your neighborhood. You guys are good neighbors. First service didn't clap at that. But maybe, I don't know, what is your life? What is the good you can do in your life? How about, I've heard of this concept, I'm sort of learning, and I like the idea of it, is scheduled social justice. Imagine if all commerce stopped one day a week, and we just said, no. I'm not gonna do that anymore. And I think we're blinded to some of the things that happen. But I think the reality is there's most likely from what at least I see, there's people that are caught in slavery making the clothes that we wear and many of the things in our homes. That like might sound like a heavy concept to you, but maybe for one day we just say I'm not gonna support that anymore. Maybe for one day we just say I'm just not going to be a part of that. Or what if we just took a day and said, I am going to do my very, very, very best today and be inconvenienced for the planet? What if we just said, I'm going to take a day and realize that this is God's beautiful earth and I'm going to do everything I possibly can not to damage it today? Hey, you might not agree with my ideas. That's the good thing is these aren't rules I'm telling you to live by. This is an idea that part of doing good, part of worshiping him is finding out those things that are in your life. But whatever you do, make sure you have some kind of stop. Yeah. Stop long enough to experience God. Stop and delight in him. See, worship is grateful recognition of God's goodness. Grateful recognition of God's goodness, just stopping enough to recognize how good he is. So it doesn't have to be singing. It could be eating oatmeal chocolate chip cookies. It could be eating a burrito. It could be going for a walk. It could be floating down the river. I don't know, whatever it is for you. Anything to fix your heart towards grateful recognition of the goodness of God. Hebrews 4:9-11 says, there remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. We are the people of God. For anyone who enters into God's rest from their works, just as God did from his. So God took a rest from his work, and we can do the same. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. So Sabbath is not a day to sit around and, like that video, Sabbath is not a day to sit around, eat bread, get fat and sassy. It's not a day to have just like slothful inactivity, okay? Sabbath is not a day to sit on the couch and binge watch Netflix and eat Doritos, okay? Like, did you know the average person, Netflix stated this in something that they said I read this week, that the average person finishes a Netflix series in 5 days? Anyways, that's wild. You're like, what kind of, who is that? But, or maybe you're like, yeah, I know what you're talking about. It's wild. But it's not something that we have to be legalistic about either. So Sabbath is a spirit of restfulness versus a spirit of restlessness. Spirit of restfulness that would come over us. Sabbath is a way of saying, okay, enough. Sabbath is a day to enjoy what God's given you. Sabbath is a day to enjoy what God has done. And no matter what your life looks like, I promise you there's things in it that we just need to stop and enjoy that. Sabbath is a day to take a break from materialism and just say, okay, enough. We're in the take a break of the constant pursuit of more. And we are restful when ordinary life is enough. So it's not legalistic. It's like for me, on my Sabbath, which is not on Sundays, because I work on Sundays, on my Sabbath, I mow my lawn a lot of times. I'm a dad. I enjoy mowing my lawn. Okay, I put some music in my headphones. I love it. To me, it's restful. When I'm done, it's a time to go outside and be thankful for what God's given me. Thankful. I love the smell. But for you, that might sound like work. And you might be like, that is awful. I'm never doing that. But that's the beautiful thing of it. It's not something to be legalistic about. It's where you can position your heart. So it's not about what you choose to do. It's about the position of your heart in your actions. Where you're taking time, planning your day to be restful and worshipful. So for some, lawn care is work. For some, it's therapeutic. But plan it. Plan your Sabbath. Make it special. Like Christmas. And here's the thing about a Sabbath, when you start to get into this, it's actually a skill that you hone. It takes a while to dial it in. I mean, we're still figuring it out in our lives. This is a newer concept for us, but it's working and we love it and it's bringing us closer to God. And there is discipline to a Sabbath, but God rested. God took a Sabbath. And I think if it's good enough for him, it definitely is gonna be good enough for me. So many of us have forgotten how to sit with God. So when we plan that day, ask yourself, is this rest or is this worship? And here's the beautiful thing about Sabbath. Sabbath fills our souls back up with life. There is way too many things that drain our souls, that drain our lives, that drain our energy. But Sabbath fills our souls back up with life. So when you plan that day, ask yourself, what could I do for 24 hours that would fill my soul with joy? What could I do for 24 hours that would fill my soul with joy, fill me with gratitude and with praise? And we actually, for this to work, we actually have to believe that what God has for our lives is enough. That what God has for our lives is enough. See, we often escape from our lives. We often escape from what we're facing. We often escape from difficult situations that we find ourselves in. And our escape is still not enough. We're looking for rest. So don't go to your escape. The funny thing is about escape is in our escape, we often find an idol. We often have an idol in our escape, but God, what he needs us to do as his children that he loves so much is he needs us to stay the light of the world. And if you've looked around at all, our world needs a light. Our world needs us to be a light. Not to be someone who hides from things that we need to face. Not to be someone who keeps our mouths shut when we should speak up. Not to be someone to go around and start quarrels and be angry and be these people that are constantly fighting and in turmoil. God needs us to be a light into this world. And if we're gonna do that, we're gonna need to stay connected to the source of our light, the source of our joy, the source of what gives us life, our God, our Creator, our Father in heaven who loves us so much. And so many of us have idols that we run and we escape to because life is frustrating or because things are heavy and we don't know how to deal with certain situations or because we want to hide from the conflict, the things that God needs us to deal with. And like we talked about 2 weeks ago, Jesus didn't come to offer us escape. He came to offer us equipment. An easy yoke. To yoke ourselves to him and say, God, I'm willing, whatever the task may be that you put me up to, I'm willing to take it on. But hey, we gotta be restful and know that what our ordinary life is enough. And so what I encourage you to do, and I'd encourage you to do this every day, but on your Sabbath specifically, when you start it, whenever you decide that that moment has begun, which if it doesn't work for your work schedule, stretch it out over 2 days. Give yourself a 24-hour period. But whenever that time begins, ask the Holy Spirit to join you on that. So it's not about isolating ourselves. It's asking the Holy Spirit. This is withdraw to be with Him. And ask the Holy Spirit to join you on that day. Withdrawing is healthy. Oftentimes, this might sound bad as a pastor, oftentimes I don't hear from worship. I don't hear from God in worship here. Sometimes I do. You know, a few times a year I do. But often when I'm hearing from Him the most is when I'm withdrawn, when I'm resting, because the noise of the modern world makes us deaf to the noise of God. The noise to what's going on all around us often makes us deaf to the noise of God. So we need moments of silence, because silence will drown out the noise of the word, to remember who our Father is, who loves us so much. And here's the crazy thing about Sabbath that I have found, that I've seen in my life, that I've seen in a lot of other people's lives, is Sabbath will come as delight or as discipline. Meaning you can choose Sabbath, or you can allow your life and your body to choose it for you. Either way, you're gonna need a break. We mentioned this earlier in the series. Burnout is not a place to go and visit and come back from. Burnout is a place people live in now. But good news is, Jesus gave us some direction for this. You know, just talking about hearing from God, I've been in church a long time, was leading in youth for a long time, been connected to people a long time. Something that breaks my heart is watching people walk away from their faith because they didn't hear from God, because it wasn't real to them anymore. It wasn't a personal relationship with them anymore. And so they got to a point where they were disconnected from Him, and they felt like they blamed certain things, like it was a certain leader's fault, or it was their family that was pushing them into this the whole time, and they never believed it in the first place. When the reality of it is, they just didn't have a system designed to come back, and they allowed religion to creep in and relationship distance. And what happened is their heart got far from God. And man, that's how the enemy works. Just little things to push you back. But if you design a system, the Sabbath, to come back, to rest, and to worship Him, here's the promise Jesus gives us. And we read this, we started this whole series with this, Matthew chapter 11, 28. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion, which is what the people tried to do to Jesus, to say you had to live in these certain rules? People will try and do that to you. They'll try and say, hey, you have to live in these certain rules to follow Jesus. No, that's not how it works. Even the enemy will try and do that to you. He'll say, you're not connected. You don't love God because you didn't do this, that, and the other thing. Don't allow that thinking to come into your mind. This is what Jesus wants. He says, are you tired? Are you burned out on religion? Listen, He says, come to me. That's what He wants. Get away with me. Let's withdraw together. You'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take real rest. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Wow, my life could be a rhythm. I don't have to go against the grain all the time. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. That's the life I want. Jesus didn't come to give you burnout. God didn't give you life to burn you out. Jesus came to give us freedom so that we could walk and live in freedom. And He wants to give us rest. Rest from rules. Rest from shame. Rest from guilt. Rest from disconnection. Rest from feeling worn out. Rest from feeling tired. Rest from feeling like we can't do enough. Rest from feeling like we're fed up with the people in our lives. Rest from feeling like there is no escape. God didn't want to give you an escape in the first place. He said, yoke yourself to me. I've created you to be a light in the world. I've created you with the desires in your heart for a reason, but you have to yoke yourself to me. And that yoke is easy. And that burden is light. And so I just want to pray for you today. That as we close this service, that you would feel like it's time. That you would realize that whatever you've been feeling, that the heaviness maybe you've been feeling, or whatever's been going on, that God came to give you rest. That he loves you so much, you're his child. When he thinks about your name, he smiles. When he sees how you walking in your purpose, oh, he's like, oh, that's exactly what I made them to do. And sometimes people criticize them for that, but I made them that way on purpose. Hey, if they would just drown out those other voices and connect with me, they'd know that they were made for that reason. Hey, can we just all just bow our heads and close our eyes right now? I just want to pray for you. God, I just pray that you'd give your people peace. And I pray they realize their value and their worth, that you love them so much, that when you think about them, you smile. It makes you so glad. And this shame or this guilt that they felt or this heaviness that they felt, that you didn't put that on them, you gave them an easy yoke. That your burden is light. God, I pray we would come to you today. And that we do some reflecting on our lives to make sure we connect with you. You're awesome, God. You're wonderful, Lord. You love us so much. I pray that we would desire to connect with you this weekend. That would be our heart's cry, that we just need a moment with you, a word with you. Your presence, just a moment in your presence. That would be our desire. And hey, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, just not looking around, just to respect everyone around us. If you're in the room right now or you're watching online and you know that right now your connection or your relationship with God isn't what you want it to be, I want you to know that if you've fallen away from him, or if you feel like maybe this is your first time, you're hearing about this Jesus thing, you weren't sure about it, but now you're leaning in and you know there's something happening in your heart. Romans 10:9, very simple verse. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and Savior, you'll be saved. That's as easy as a system that he gave us to follow. And you don't have to do a bunch of other stuff. If you would just pray that prayer with me today, if you believe in your heart and today you want to confess with your mouth, whether you're in the room or you're watching online, I want you to, under your breath, repeat after me. I'm going to say this prayer, and life, the beginning of your journey with him will start now, or the restart of your journey with him will start right now. Would you repeat after me? Lord Jesus, thank you for coming to this earth and dying on the cross for my sins. I believe that you are my Lord and my Savior. Would you come into my heart now? Forgive me of my sins. From now on, I live for you. In your name, amen. Come on, let's say amen and put our hands together for all God's done here today.
Thanks for listening with us today. If you enjoyed it, check out more messages like this at celebrationedmonton.com or on the Celebration Church mobile app. If you'd like to partner with us financially, you can give on our website at celebrationedmonton.com. Come back next week to hear another great message.